If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Hello and welcome back to 10,000 Swings. It is Sunday, May 9th, 2021. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
10,000 Swings is brought to you by Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual. Jarrett is a good friend of ours, and let's just say we trust Jarrett enough to give him 10-footers. For whatever financial questions you have, call Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual, 612-209-4523, or visit his website at www.jarrettyalen.com, JarrettYalen.com. He can do retirement planning, life insurance, analyze your golf shop credit spend, you name it. Give Jarrett a call today.
Why are we giving him 10-footers now?
Well, the trust that he's created with us over the years just kind of keeps, we keep going further and further on how much we trust him. And before you know it, he's just not even gonna have to putt. He's just going to pick it up and go to the next hole because that's how much we trust this guy. And we've got a great show for you tonight that might include the Wells Fargo Championship with a special winner, golf buddy trips, and the Walker Cup. And to discuss all of these great topics and hopefully even more, we have none other than Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual. Jarrett, how we doing, buddy?
Gentlemen, what's going on? I appreciate the gratitude on 10-footers. You know, normally it's like you give a club length, but I go ball retriever length. So I think that's what we'll roll with on the greens now.
Well, 10-footers is like Brad saying we're going to get to all of these things to talk about when we know he's not going to stop talking about Rory for about the next 55 minutes.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Hey, before we get into me gushing over Rory for quite basically the entire hour, today is a very special day. It's Mother's Day. So I thought it'd be kind of fun if all of us shared something about our mothers and our wives that our mothers did with us, what our wives have done for our kids, and just share those fun stories and give a little tribute to them. So I'll start off. I'm not a small person. And so I go through a lot of food, and my mom taught me how to cook. And you talk about like giving the kid the keys of the candy store, like it's the gift that keeps giving. Cause you know, even though, you know, the pizza rolls and corn dogs have now been replaced with asparagus and Brussels sprouts, it's still pretty awesome stuff. So I can never thank my mom enough. She's done a million great things for me, but her teaching me how to cook and her always being there when I screw up a recipe or need to, you know, I don't have an ingredient and she tells me what I can sub with, that's pretty awesome. So really, really good stuff. And another thing she said is, and I think this is pretty cool in our current climate, and I think I could definitely also listen to this. She always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I am obviously guilty of that. We all are. But I think it's something to think about when someone's really kind of making you upset, and if you just kind of bite your tongue and think about, hey, you know, maybe we just not engage on this one. Saturday Night Live had a skit a few years back called Should I Chime In on This? And it was a pretty funny game show that Keenan hosted. And it was like, do I have a smartphone? Am I not educated on this subject? Okay, yeah, I'm all in. I'm gonna chime in. And sometimes we all as a society could just say, you know what? I'm not gonna engage, not gonna go down that road. I'm just gonna let it be. And yeah, so some good stuff from my mom. And I tell you what, my wife, we have two little kids. And the one thing that I always am learning from my wife and need to get better at, my wife is always teaching me how to be patient with kids, whereas sometimes I get a little bit on edge and maybe blow a gasket or two. And it is an art form. And I think that moms have that special ability to do things that dads sometimes can't. And that's definitely one where her patience, when I'm literally got smoke coming out of my ears and she's talking really chill, it's pretty cool stuff. So those are my two. Do you guys have any you wanted to share?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
I would tell you, you know, I didn't necessarily have like the whole, you know, diet thing going on with my mom. That was for sure. But my mom was more like, she was more tough love, right? Raised a Southern woman. She taught me how to get through adversity. That was her thing, was life isn't fair and you're going to have to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and get going again. She suffered a disability, like a nervous system disability, and, you know, lost all of her earning potential later down in life and still just puts one foot in front of the other and still keeps going. So that's one thing that I learned from her specifically. And another thing was like just how to treat women. I know that seems like it's something that we should all have, but it was how to be chivalrous, open the door first, let them in first, buy flowers, say nice things. It was how to be a proper man, right? She kind of raised me Southern to a degree every now and then. And my wife, you know, she's a good Central Minnesotan, and she has the same thoughts, Brad, is that, you know, if you can't say anything nice, just don't say it, right? Just internalize it, keep it to yourself. Nobody needs to hear it if it's nothing negative. In fact, maybe try to turn around and find something positive and say that instead. But she has the patience of a saint, and we've got 3 kids, 10, 7, and 4. We're going like crazy all the time. And I love her because she always wants to be with them. You know, I'm like trying to take her away. Like, hey, let's go do something on our own tonight. Let's go have a date night. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Like, no, I want to spend time with the kids. She laughs at their jokes a hell of a lot more than I do. That's for sure. Like I sometimes look at them like very literal with like, you know, okay, don't say anything if you don't have anything nice to say about their joke that they just told. But like, she'll laugh at all of them and she keeps them rolling. And finally, she's got a couple of Big Ten basketball titles under her belt. So mom teaches the kids the jump shot. Like, I don't teach them the jump shot. There's no way, shape, manner, or form that I need to be teaching them how to drain it and make it rain from the 3-point line. I'm a little bit more like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly, right? Like, that's me from the corner of the driveway where Jenny's like stroking them like perfect form, everything else. So happy Mother's Day to Jenny and my mom that's out there. What an awesome day, right?
It's great. Branny?
You know, we were just at my parents' last night celebrating some birthdays. First time family's gotten together in a long time. My mom, she goes all out. I mean, you look at that dinner table and you could tell we've not been together in a long time. I'll take a little different spin on this with my mother, at least. So my mother will not play golf because she cannot stand the fact that when I was growing up, I would come home and no matter what I shot, I was angry about something about that round of golf. It could have been 68, and I'm like, yeah, but I missed like 3 3-foot putts. So like to this day, that always just sticks in my mind. And my dad was kind of the same way. Like, it always could have been better. She's like, well, why am I going to play this sport if that's the way you guys are about it? I'm like, you know what? Point taken. So I've taken a little bit away from that from her of, you know what? Rejoice in what's good. And ironically, the first time she ever came to go see me play a full round of golf, I believe it was my freshman or sophomore year in college, Mankato Golf Club. Brad, you remember how simple hole one is at Mankato Golf Club?
Just get it in the fairway.
Yeah, I made 10.
4 left?
Nope, hit it right down the middle.
It's even better. I need to know what happened next.
I went from, there's a bunker back left and there's a bunker front right, and I went back and forth between the two of them for about 5 minutes.
Okay, so can we unpack this a little bit? I want to know, like, as you're going back and forth, so you're in one bunker and two, and you end up making a 10. So there's probably, what, like five raking episodes here? Like, are the other guys in your group getting the rake? Are they just sitting there? Because you probably spent like 3 minutes of you just playing Plinko with yourself, right? Like, what are we doing here, Branny? Did you even rake it, or did you just say, no, I'll just leave it for when I end up back here 20 seconds later? Like, how'd you handle it?
The old foot rake. The old foot rake.
Truthfully, Brad, I don't ever remember raking one of those bunkers.
Well, maybe that's why you ended up going back into the bunkers. It's the golf gods. It's karma. You got to rake your bunker, bro. Like, come on. Let's take care of the course. It'll take care of you. You ever, like, miss 6 greens in a row after you miss a ball mark? That's why. You got to fix your ball mark and 3 other ones on every green, or they're going to come get you.
Now, to be fair, I played the next 17 holes at 1 under. So a little bit of redemption.
It's a pretty good 76. Or, yeah,
whatever that was.
Yeah.
My wife, though, she is the best mother to our kids. Literally, this house would be burning down if it wasn't for her. Last week alone was like 6 baseball games, 4 football games, and we're running everywhere. And the sacrifices she makes. But my biggest thing with my wife as a mother is she's an example of how to treat other people. Be nice, be human, be kind, try hard, have fun. So happy Mother's Day, everybody.
It's good stuff. Now that everyone's tearing up, let's dive into some golf. So there was
I'm tearing up over my ten on that hole one at Mankato right now again.
So there was a man today that was wearing a light pink hat and a light pink shirt, and that man won the golf tournament, and that man is Rory McIlroy. I have been waiting to say this for over, we're at a year and a half now, essentially since we started this show. Maybe we were the curse. Maybe this show starting was the curse of Roy McIlroy. I'm telling you what, this guy is so fun. He is, in my opinion, the best interview in sports, not just golf, best interview in sports, and he is so genuine and so fun, and he is so prone to screwing up at the biggest moments. It's so painful to watch. Like, when he's on 18 today, we're about to head to my parents' place, and I look at my wife, and I go, well, you know, he's up to, we got this in the bag. She goes, is there water on 18? And I go, yeah. She goes, we are not safe. And hits it down by the hazard, ends up taking a penalty, making a bogey, ends up winning by one still, but Rory McIlroy, and just so you guys know, the last time the PGA Championship in 2 weeks was at Kiawah Island, Rory McIlroy won. So I am expecting a lot of fantasy golf picks to be Rory McIlroy number one at the PGA Championship, and obviously Derek Holmes number two, or maybe vice versa, you know, depending on how those shake out. But I would assume that those will be on every Minnesotan's card, because we got to show some love to Derek. So How fun was that, though? Rory, like, he has to be one of the best ball strikers of all time, right? And watching him play, you know, off the tee, he's incredible. They said, Dottie Pepper said today, I think he's going into today, he was 201st on the tour in shots from 75 to 100 yards. And think about how many times he's between 75 and 100 yards. So if he could just figure out a little bit of the wedge game and the putter game, I mean, we've always said this, right? But if he could get locked in from basically 150 in and just be decent, I don't think there's any way he loses, because I don't know anyone that hits it straighter and further off the tee. Am I out of bounds by saying that, or do we think he's the man?
I think the defense of he's played here and he's won here before. And I might even contradict myself later in the pod on a couple of points that I want to make, but I think, like, his last win there, like, the PGA was there in 2012. Okay. Like, that was a different game in 2012. There were different players on board. He was hitting it so much further than everybody else, but he did win by 8 strokes in 2012 at Kiawah. So I have to imagine that if he does find himself in contention on Sunday, I don't know if it's going to be by eight strokes. I mean, he does have a flair for the dramatic, right? So unless he's running away with it like he did at Congressional or Kiawah or something like that, I just don't know if he has that type of game in him right now, unless you completely disagree.
Here's what's interesting is, you know, he made his swing coach change recently, which obviously it paid off. I'm with you, Brad. Like, it – 8-shot lead, okay, I might be comfortable. 2-shot lead, oh boy. This is like his record. We've talked about this before on the show. His record on Sundays is not great. I remember when he pissed away the Masters that one year. What did he shoot? I can't remember. It was like Greg Norman-esque.
40-something on the back nine, right? I mean, it was pretty painful. And I mean, that's the thing. So he is now one. And obviously, though, he is a horse for the course kind of guy, right? And if you look at Tiger and a lot of guys that have had a lot of wins on tour, they win multiple times at the same place. So this was his third win at Quail Hollow, and he just looked really, really comfortable. Even when he made mistakes, he just seemed to bounce back well. I just think it's crazy that, what, a month ago, he basically came out, or a month and a half ago, he came out and said that he had screwed up. He was chasing Bryson, chasing the ball speed numbers and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden he gets away from it and he can come back out and win. That's how good this guy is. He can go through some changes and come right back out and win. Speaking of Bryson, so I could gush all night about Rory, but has anyone ever left a tournament on Friday, flown home, go to the gym, cranking out max whatever, probably creatine, whatever, power, muscle, milk, whatever he's going, right? He's just, he's going straight Popeye on it. And then he gets a note that he actually did make the cut, decides to fly back to Charlotte. So Charlotte to Dallas, I don't think is the quickest flight, and then flies back to Charlotte in the middle of the morning to get there in time for his tee time on Saturday morning, goes off on the weekend and finishes in the top 10. Like, what is this guy? There's never a dull moment with Bryson. Like, Yalen, what is that, what we need to do after our rounds is just like go fly somewhere else and then come back and then all of a sudden we'll kick butt? Like, I don't understand it.
I mean, I do that all the time with like forgetting something at the grocery store, you know, like, oh, you didn't get the milk. All right, hold on, I'll be right back. And then you come back and like you're a completely new man for the rest of the night, right? Because you completed the order. I actually think his publicist or whoever on his team said, wait a minute, this is a good thing. Let's play this thing up. Let's get as much traction as we can out of this because we're going to get some social media hits on this, right? Like the whole $40 million pot that's now out there on the PGA Tour for social media engagement and all this other sort of stuff, I think guys are actively thinking about this. And instead of just saying like, ah, forget it, like, screw it, I'm not going to go back. All right, now he's documenting it real time. Now he's going to take some pictures of himself in the gym. He's going to, you know, load down a Subway tuna fish sandwich and get some protein. Like, I think he's playing it up. And he goes out and he finishes in the top 10. Like, are you kidding me?
Did you hear what he said about this? Like, I'd feel bad for letting the fans down. I'd feel bad for letting Wells Fargo down. It was, I mean, he should be thinking about this. $40 million.
Right.
You're a finance guy. This is legit money.
Right. That's my point. I don't know what the metrics are on this $40 million pot. I don't think the PGA wants to, like, you know, put out exactly what those metrics are, how many likes you get or whatever it is, or engagement. But you can have players say that they don't care about it or they think it's kind of hokey. But then Justin Thomas goes and puts his Twitter handle and his social media handle on the back of his caddy's bib. These guys are thinking about it. They're actively thinking about it.
So, serious question. If you're you know, if you shoot, so I took Max Homa this week, and Max Homa shot a million and missed a cut. Okay, so you trunk slam, you leave. But if you're within three or four shots of the cut, don't you just hang out a couple more hours before you take off on a flight to Dallas? Like, seriously, is this really a thing where, you know, I'm frustrated with how I played, so now I'm just going to go home? Like, that to me is what's so shocking about this is, you know, the guy shot 70-74. It's not like he shot 80-80.
How long was it from the time he walks out of the course to the time that he boards the flight, they're airborne? How long do you think that is? 2.5 hours, maybe?
Well, I mean, some of these guys have a pretty quick getaway. Like David and I have seen it, you know, at the 3M. Some of them have, you know, from the time they leave the course to the time they're in the plane, some of them can do it as quick as about 30 minutes.
So Bryson and Brooks can do this in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
oh wow,
I get it, but and who knows? Maybe he had a hot date Friday night. I don't know. It seems kind of crazy to me that this guy can go from I'm totally checked out on this tournament, I'm flying home, to all of a sudden I'm back in the top 10. Like, that's just so impressive to me. And then you've got Phil, who literally does the polar opposite. Phil goes from leading the tournament to barely, you know, if they didn't, you know, what did he finish, 70th? Like, Phil, what are we doing here? 69th, excuse me. 69th for Phil Mickelson. 64, 75, 76, 76. And I'm sure he was still giving, you know, half thumbs to everyone that engaged with him the whole weekend. And Bryson was probably still disgruntled with some media member or whatever. It's fascinating. It's almost like you said, it's almost like he did this as a way to get noticed. It's almost like he drew it up this way, right? Like maybe he didn't even leave Charlotte. Maybe he just super, you know, showed some pictures from his gym back home and pretended he was home, but he never even left Charlotte. It was all just a ploy to get closer to that 40 mil.
Oh my gosh, so that would be something. That'd be something if he actually didn't leave. That I would love for that controversy to come out. I would love for it to come out.
So, by the way, let's not forget last weekend when Bryson DeChambeau tweeted, "Thanks so much for, you know, supporting me this week. I appreciate everyone supporting me as I won this golf tournament." And then we find out, wait, Wait, Sam Burns won the golf tournament. Why is Bryson DeChambeau tweeting this? They have the same social media manager. So don't tell me he's like, I think this is a total ploy. I think he never left Charlotte. I think he was hanging out at Waffle House in Charlotte and just adding as much protein as possible to his waffles and pancakes. And just his social media person goes, hey, I got it. You know, and the, who knows? I mean, this was absolutely nuts. But that post last weekend for Sam Burns that came from Bryson's account was absolutely priceless. Like, what? And I think you're spot on, Jarrett. Everyone is thinking about this now. Everyone wants the clicks. They want the follows. They want the juice. So I don't know. It's crazy. But I mean, I just love that he played so bad. He did this whole thing Friday night, and then he comes out and totally games it on the weekend.
Speaking of the PR part of this, did you guys happen to see Rory's immediate post-round interview today? This is my new favorite question on tour, especially for Rory. Where does this victory rank for you? And Rory stood there, and you could just see the, like, it's rolling through his head, like, well, let's see, I've won 3 PGA championships, I've done this, I've done that, I've been number one in the world, so not as high as others. But he still comes out with this very politically, like you had mentioned, but like with the way he interviews, it was honest, but you could just tell it was a lot of BS coming through his mouth to answer that question. Like, where does this rank? I don't know. I've won majors. This isn't one.
I've won 19 a couple weeks. I've won 19 events, and I only play the top tournaments, so I'm going to go with somewhere between 14 and 19, right? Like,
right.
That's just, I mean, that's how I would respond. You know, it's like, yeah, it wasn't as great of a field as a major, but it was okay. Now, that being said, this tournament always seems to get a great field. So do you guys think that's because people love Quail Hollow? People love Charlotte? People love their appearance fees that maybe are going on? Or, you know, like, what do you guys think is driving people to play this event? Because the field was very strong this week.
Well, I think Quail Hollow is awesome. I think this golf course is fantastic. I've never played it, but for years I've always enjoyed watching the final stretch of these holes. It's so good. For those of you who also don't know this, I'll share this quick. So we all know Brad's love affair with Rory. There was a text chain going on yesterday that if Rory won, I was going to hang a Rory head cover behind me for the show tonight. And I don't know if you guys can see it, but
yes,
the St. Bernard. There it is.
There it is.
That is awesome.
But going back to your question, it's a great event. It has got the fields have gotten stronger, but I don't know what the answer is. Appearance fees.
I think it has to do with the course. I think whenever a course gets the backing of a major tournament, I think all of a sudden it just changes the way that we think about the course, and it changes the way the players think about the course. You know, I mean, it's hosted hosted the PGA, the 99th PGA in 2017. In 2022, the President's Cup is there, and it's going to host the PGA again in 2025. So I think as a course gets these big events, all of a sudden it just changes everything in the player's mind because they know that the course will be set up very, very tough. They know that that course, their game can translate from that course to other courses when the PGA of America comes in and sets up the course a certain way. I think that that can't be discounted. I think that's why it continues and will continue to draw a very, very big crowd.
I think that's spot on. Now, one of the names that surfaced at the top of the board that was not necessarily a top player this year, Keith Mitchell. And Keith Mitchell, in my opinion, has to have one of the best caddies on tour, Crunchy Pete. Can we all just say that is just a top name, Crunchy Pete? And what is Paul Casey's Johnny Longstockings?
Johnny Longsocks. Johnny McLaren.
Johnny McLaren. Johnny Longsocks. That's a good one, but Crunchy Pete's fantastic. Crunchy Pete looks like a hybrid between Happy Gilmore's first caddy and his second caddy. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting mixture there. He's got some serious flow. But one of the nuggets they said on the telecast today, he's not a big fan of hotels. He likes to sleep under the stars. So I thought that was pretty cool. What do you guys think are like the best? So this guy's got some serious flow, kind of a mullet. I've always thought that Fluff had one of the best caddy looks on tour. Like when Fluff was caddying for Tiger, I really enjoyed Fluff. What are you guys kind of like? Who's your caddy? You're like, man, I really love the cut of their jib. What are your takes here?
So here's my question then for you on that one, Brad. I'm not going to disagree with Fluff. Is Fluff a product of Tiger? Because Fluff was Furyk. Then all of a sudden, Tiger, a huge Tiger fan here. I know we all are. What's he a product of? Which one? Is it him or is it Tiger?
Mm. And let's face it, it all went south once Fluff started jumping out of suitcases, right? So in commercials. So, I mean, there was a little bit of the, you know, the status got pretty big. You know, we're like, Jarrett, are you a big... I always think Bowens had kind of a sweet look going, you know. Obviously, yeah. You know, his calves were second to his players. But, you know, Bowens has a good look going. I've enjoyed Joey LaCava's look a little bit. Basically, you know, you can tell he's a Jeff Mewn wannabe. you know, there's just a lot of different looks. Yales, what's your caddy look out there?
You know, it's interesting. I think speaking of Fluff, I think one thing that is going to stick with Fluff forever is the 2012 U.S. Open at the Olympic Club in San Francisco, where he did not talk Furyk out of the three wood on the tee box on 18. Remember that? And then Webb Simpson goes on to win, and Fluff was emotional in the clubhouse. Like, normally caddies aren't giving interviews, right? But somebody found him, or he offered up some sort of words, and he was in tears because he knew he should have talked him out of it. So I don't know whether he's a Furyk or Tiger guy, but you know, one of my favorite looks for a caddy, and I know this is so wild that I'm going to say this, is the Masters. And maybe it's because it's all the white bibs, but they all get to add their little teeny unique touch. Joey LaCava with the Giants shirt on underneath all the time. I think that's a fantastic look. Stevie Williams with the chest hair that you could literally swing from vine to vine on if necessary. Sticking out of the top is a good one. My favorite is Johnny Longsocks. I mean, he is by far my favorite. He's got the J's on out on the course. And depending on what city he's in or what team is winning at the present moment, he's going to pull those socks up. They're a little bit more aggressive than mid-calf length. You know, that's what makes them really interesting, is they're not the quarter-length athletic. They're not the mid-calf. They're not like the high socks on a basketball court. They're somewhere in between, and it's his unique look. I love it. I think it's great.
No, it's a great.
You know, speaking of caddies, and you brought up Webb Simpson, I was doing just a little bit of prep for this, and I randomly came across this Google searching stuff. Top five caddies in 2020 and what they made. What do you think the highest was? I shouldn't say. What do you think the number five was in 2020? Fifth richest caddy in 2020.
2020 year, or are we talking cumulative?
2020 year only.
Okay, so shortened PGA Tour season.
Yep.
I'd guess 300,000.
Okay. 375.
Okay.
John Rahm's caddy. Webb Simpson's made 417. Dustin Johnson's 472. Colin Morikawa made 486, and we will never know what Justin Thomas's caddy made, although we know he made 182 in one event.
Wow. What about Matt Kuchar's caddy? Can I get that number?
We're 20?
Can I actually call David Ortiz, El Toucan, and get him on the pod right now and just break down with El Toucan that conversation? By the way, I've read like multiple transcripts of that whole breakdown of what happened with Kuchar and El Toucan, and it still doesn't sit right with me. Like, there's something's off with that whole story. And but caddies are great. They make the event a lot of fun. And one other part of the event that I think was so fun this week is the crowd was great, right? The crowd was into it. It seemed like it was a very pro Rory crowd, which, because he's won there twice, I always feel like players that come back that have already won somewhere, you know, the fans seem to kind of pick them up as part of their fam or their crew. And Rory this week, you know, everyone's cheering for him. And it led me to start thinking about, like, in the COVID era where there were no fans, you know, you could tell that Rory was playing better because of the fans this week. When we had a time frame with no fans, why didn't Patrick Reed win more events? You know, like, you would have thought that maybe Patrick Reed would have done, because there aren't people booing or cheering against him or helping other people. Like, because it seems like there's not a ton of fans in his corner. It seems like everyone's wanting Rory or Phil. Like, even Phil shooting mid-70s this weekend, the fans are still going nuts about everything he does, right? And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Just the role that the fans play in the game is really... Because last year was tough. It was kind of hard to watch right at the beginning. It was just kind of weird without fans. And now that we have fans back, it's kind of clear who the favorites are again. I can only imagine what the crowds would be like for Tiger if he ever makes it back out on tour. You know, and how you know, the ground will be shaking, right? Like, it'll be a must-have ticket.
Who is Rory's new caddy right now? I know he moved on from J.P. Fitzgerald in 2017.
Is it still Harry Diamond? Harry Diamond, his like childhood buddy?
I don't know.
I believe that's who it is.
Okay. He did a fantastic job on 18. You know, Rory hooks it a little. He hooks it a little left over the creek, bounds down, and still is lying outside. Like, it's not in the water. And he and Harry had a lengthy conversation of what to do, right? So Rory takes an unplayable. He goes back just a couple of yards and then sets it on the green from like some super thick rough. I mean, the ball jumped out there really, really quickly. But you mentioned Austin Johnson. I think he's one of those caddies that's out there that has made his player better. Like, he has made Dustin so much better. And whether it's because he has calmed him, whether it's because he reads greens better than Dustin does, I don't know. But, you know, Rory has only won 5 times with Harry. All of his other wins are with JP. JP's now on Victor Perez's bag, who's 33 in the world. But, Brad, I'm curious, like, what does it take to be a good caddy? That's the question. Like, are you there for more mental support? Are you there to help him with yardage? Like, what makes that person so wonderful?
Let's separate Dustin from all of this. His caddy's there to be smarter than he is.
it's a great question, Yale. So obviously, you know, I've caddied on the Champions Tour, some other events, pretty high level, not super high level, but pretty high level stuff. And I really think it always depends on the player. Every player needs something different from their caddy. But for me, a lot of times it's positive reinforcement. I think a lot of mental, you know, all these guys are good. And it really comes down to keeping them light where they're having a good time and they're still enjoying the game, but not so light where they're losing focus, right? And so it's kind of that, and I think that that's why Rory likes Diamond on the bag, is because it kept him more light, right? They're closer, they can talk about more things. I don't know if that makes him a better player or win. He has done pretty well the last 5 years. I mean, he's still had a good run out there. It's not like he's, and I think, let's face it, after watching this week, it might have been more of a him not trying to compete with Bryson situation that was hurting him. So, but you need a caddy that is so dialed in on distances and getting you those right numbers and being able to account for wind and read greens. And that's where you can see certain guys like, you know, Spieth and Greller. I mean, they have something, right? They clearly have something going there. And it's just funny to watch the different interactions. Like, two of my least favorite guys and how they treat their caddies are Spieth and Bubba. And it's not because they're not actually bad to their guys. It's just how often you hear them on the TV with kind of that whiny, you know, what Bubba always says, Ted, you know, and Spieth's always, Michael, you know, it's kind of that whininess. But I think that whininess probably also goes to show you that they're just that comfortable, right? Like, they're just that dialed in with each other. And it's amazing what a good looper can do. And hence why you make, you know, 10% or more. Those numbers that you guys brought up earlier, I think are interesting because I think there's probably a lot more unofficial money that also probably gets around, you know, from different things, especially when you start thinking about endorsements and some of that different stuff. I think there's probably some additional cash flow. So if you're doing a good job out there, you know, you can make $500,000 or more getting a good workout in. Kind of fun. And you get to, if you're like Crunchy Pete, you get to sleep under the stars.
Steve Williams at one point was the highest paid athlete in New Zealand. Think of that for a second.
Oh, that is priceless.
I know there's a trend right now too. There the trend with, you know, kids on the bag, right? Like you've seen this right now, and I, you know, Poulter's kid was on the bag this weekend. Westwood, for whatever reason, took a good thing off of the bag and put his son on the bag for Augusta. Like I don't know what they're trying to recreate there, or if it's just, you know what, I've already made it. I've made enough money. I've played this course enough times. Like, I just want to spend, you know, 4 hours out on the course with my son. Like, I don't know if that's it, but Stuart Sink's son. Now, Stuart is like, he's very vocal about it. He's like, he's a hell of a caddy. Like, he could go loop for any of these dudes on tour, but Stuart won, whereas Westwood and Poulter both missed the cut. I tell you what I think it is. I think it's these guys seeing Tiger and Charlie having such an awesome relationship, playing together and having this father-son golf experience, that maybe their kids aren't quite the player that Charlie is. And here we go again. Here's another generation of everybody following Tiger, wanting to do what Tiger does because of the good publicity that it gets them as well. That's my thought.
You know, I'll never forget when Kutcher, he played in the Masters as an amateur. Do you remember who was on his bag for that one? It was his dad. And I'll never forget that. I mean, I grew up as a caddy. I'm in this industry because I was a caddy. I think it'd be super cool if I will never play professional golf. Let's put it that way. But if I could, and I could have my son on the bag, what a cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it would be a cool experience, right? I would absolutely love it. But all of a sudden, like, there's a little bit of a trend happening here since Tiger and Charlie went out and dominated at the PNC father-son. And so I don't think it's all coincidence. Like, I think it's actually happening for a reason, that there's some good PR that's coming on it too. Here we go back to the $40 million pot.
Jarrett, so are you saying that Tiger moves the needle in golf? Is that your bold statement? Is that your reckless speculation of the evening?
Well, I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if you were there. The 2008 U.S. Women's Open at Interlaken was here. It was Lexi Thompson's maiden voyage in the U.S. Women's Open. She was 13 years old. Her dad was on the bag, and I was following the group because she was paired with Martha Nalzi, who was the golf coach at McAllister College at the time. And we're following the group, and Lexi puts two off the tee on the backside of Interlaken across the street. I think it, whether it's 14 or 15, I forget what it is, but she put two in the woods off the tee, and her dad was letting her have it. And, you know, here she is, you know, thankfully 13 years later, she's got an incredible career. But I just think, to a degree, that can be a good situation sometimes, but I think sometimes it can also be a detriment.
No, it's a great point, and you just never know where it's going to go. It's interesting, too, to see, like, stars that peak at a young age, and then some of them, you know, fizzle out, and some of them kind of hang around. You never know if it's parents or siblings or any, you know, there's so many people in their camp, right? There's actually a guy that's been out on tour now for almost 10 years that showed up this week kind of out of nowhere, Luke List. You know, it's like he shows up a couple events a year, enough to make it, you know, keep his car. But when he came out of college, he was supposed to be the real deal. And Luke List finished in sixth this week. It's nice to see him play well, and made me think, Luke List, PXG guy. We haven't talked about PXG yet tonight, so we want our listeners to know that 10,000 Swings is also brought to you by PXG, Parsons Extreme Golf. PXG has an incredible new store in Southdale that you need to go check out today. Call the store as soon as you can and make an appointment, or you can even just swing by if you want to see the new Gen 4 clubs. And actually, during golf today, Bob Parsons aired his new Blackjack putter ad. So if you're a gambler or you like anything gambling related, the new Blackjack putter ad is kind of some fun spin on it. Jarrett, have you seen the new Blackjack putter, or have you been in the store recently?
I was in the store a couple of weeks ago. I was rolling a few balls with a new putter. I can't confirm or deny whether a new putter is going to end up in my bag here inside the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. We'll have to see how the last couple hours of Mother's Day play out, right? Before we can start thinking about Jarrett presents. I like it. Yeah, go check out PXG today. Those guys are awesome. We had Derek and Ty on the show last week, and they're doing some cool stuff over there, and they are absolutely rocking. So give them a shout. Jarrett, one of the things we want to talk about with you on the show tonight, golf buddy trips. So you and I have been on numerous golf buddy trips, basically in kind of the upper Midwest. We've done Sand Valley. We've done Grandview a few times, Pines and Preserve there, Sand Valley. We played Sand Valley and Mammoth Dunes. Awesome trips, usually groups of, you know, 15 to 30, depending on the event. What are your thoughts? And Brandy, what are your thoughts too on like golf buddy trips? Like what's your bucket list? Where do you really want to go locally? Where do you really want to go nationally? Like what can you tell our listeners about like this is the place you have to go for a golf buddy trip? Because golf buddy trips are super fun. And I've gotten fortunate enough to be able to do Bandon, Kapalua, you know, some of these places, Whistling, some really, really special place, Sawgrass, you name it. And for our listeners, you know, I would recommend all those places. What do you guys have that you recommend that kind of the must go to places, both, you know, within our region and then nationally or worldwide as well?
Bandon Dunes, hands down. I mean, Brad, you've played there. It's, I don't know if I could recommend a better place in the United States to go play than there. You know, you get up to the first tee at the actual Bandon Dunes. They got five courses now. And the starter comes up to you and says, you know what the difference is between this and Scotland? Scotland's easier to get to.
Good.
Because Bandon, you've got to fly into Eugene. You've got to, I mean, there's a number of ways to get there, but it's not the easiest place in the world. So, I mean, Bandon is just it's all golf, but it is amazing. You want a guy's trip, you got to go there. You know what's on my list, though? My probably number one place I want to go is Cabot. It's a Cabot Links. I know it's a super short season, so I don't know how I'll ever pull this off, but have either of you guys been there?
No. Never been.
Looks awesome.
Looks amazing.
No, it doesn't. You know, Brandon, you brought up a really interesting side topic here. The starter saying that, you know, it's easier to get to Scotland than here. So, you know, that's one of those canned lines that he uses every 10 minutes, right? Every group coming through, he's got that thing dialed and ready to go. So what are your favorite lines that starters use? You know, because for me, it's always the guy that's like, okay, you know, we don't have all day now. You know, keep pace with the group in front of you. You know, they watch you hit one into the houses right off the first tee at TPC, and they tell you, hey, you know, just take your six and move on. Like, what are your favorite starter lines that they pull out? And you know they're not like a unique fun one for your group. You know they've been rehearsing it. And it's always that 65-year-old guy that just got retired. He's been working on his shtick. He's so excited to be out of the office because it's been Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 for the last 45 years. Like what are the most classic like starter lines that you've heard?
That's a good one. I think, you know, I forget where I was playing, to be perfectly honest, but I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, water left, out of bounds right, but forget I said both of those and just hit it down the middle.
Perfect. He says it to every group. You know he does.
And he says it to every group, and he thinks it's funny. I think golf buddy trips. Like, guys, I saved. I don't know why I still have this. I saved this like pullout section from a Golf Digest magazine in 2013. Like that had all of the buddy trips listed that you should go on. Bandon's on there, obviously. Hilton Head. I've made that trip before. That's an incredible trip. A couple of things that are on my list that I have to go do. Lasonia and Century World. I mean, they're right across the river in Wisconsin. They probably don't get talked about quite as much enough, like Sand Valley or Whistling Straits, Black Wolf Run, those. But Century World is hosting the 2023 U.S. Senior Open. Like, I want to go play there now because they're hosting a major event. So that's one regionally that I think. And then on my bucket list, the Big Cedar Lodge in Branson is getting a lot of play right now with Paynes Valley. I would love to go play that. The Broadmoor and the Greenbrier, those are two that I would love to go to. And I think part of it is like, you know, there's other fun stuff to do there as well. And the hotel has a lot of history. So I think that's one, but my all time bucket list that I have to go do aside from something over in Scotland or Southern England is Pinehurst. I have to go to Pinehurst. I grew up loving Payne Stewart. I grew up loving him. And for whatever reason, that feels like kind of the holy grail for a old Payne Stewart fan. And they've got 6, 7, 8, 9 courses. Like you can make 3 or 4 days there. You never have to leave. And they're all so different. And Pinehurst is one of the few places, I think maybe even the only place, correct me if I'm wrong, that it hosts the men's and women's U.S. Open in back-to-back weeks. It's incredible.
I've been to Pinehurst, and I was actually there in 99 for Nationals in college, and that is a cool place. You drive down that, I don't remember what the road is called, and it's golf course, golf course, golf course, golf course, left, right, wherever you want to go, and they are all, they're beautiful places. And number two, their putting green's got to be, have you been there, Brad?
No, I have not.
Their putting green's got to be 100 yards long at least. It's huge. I mean, there's nothing they don't do that's exceptional. And their lawn bowling area is better than 95% of all golf courses out here.
By the way, local plug, if you like lawn bowling, Brookview has lawn bowling, and it's quite the hoot from what I hear. Pretty centrally located there in Golden Valley. So I hear that that's a pretty good spot if you want to do some lawn bowling. For me, I look at just in Minnesota, always love a good trip to Grandview, Pines Preserve. Within the rest of Brainerd, you've got Craigens, you've got Madden's, good options across the board. I have a group we'll be going this fall. Jarrett's coming with to Giants Ridge and the Wilderness, and that's another great, fairly quick 2-day trip. Southern Minnesota, if you have some connections, do like a Summerbee Rochester Golf and Country Club. Some really fun tracks there. There's just so many ways you can do it. Minnewaska and Geneva, there's some great options there in kind of that Alec area. The Northwest Golf Tour, I think they called it, or something to that effect, has got all these courses that are in on the deal. So it's Wildflower, Detroit Country Club, Perm Lakeside, and Thumper Pond. And like when we did it years ago for a bachelor party, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as much golf as you want, housing, you name it. You get to play all these different courses that are part of the deal and stay at Wildflower. And I thought it was like 180 or 200 for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So obviously, September is always a great time. They start fall rates. All summer long is fantastic, but those places are usually rocking. So, and at this time of year, if you're trying to book it now, probably going to want to look at late September or October or 2022, because that's just how these things book up. There's so many great resorts that are, within our access. And then Wisconsin's just a whole nother bag. I mean, Wisconsin's so loaded and so many good places. So we really are fortunate to be where we are, because we're 10 hours from a lot of incredible places. A very sneaky one is kind of doing, like, let's say you go Minnewaska or Geneva, and then you head to Fargo for the night and play either Fargo Country Club or Oxbow or one of those tracks kind of in that area. Then head out to Dickinson and do, Bismarck, and play Hocktree. And then cruise along 94, and right before you get to Montana is one of the coolest places you'll ever go, Bully Pulpit, in Medora, North Dakota, just on this side of Montana. It's a solid 10, 11 hours, and no one's ever complained about the drive because it's that good. So there's some cool, and again, between that and Wisconsin, there's just so many different types of looks that you get. It's very mountainous and totally different out there as you're almost into Montana. So buddy trips, they're a lot of fun, and they just take a lot of planning, and you have to have someone that wants to get their ducks in a row, because if you don't have kind of a leader of the group, you're usually in trouble. You need someone kind of lining that up and getting collecting payments and all that stuff. It's a bit annoying, but it's you have to have someone that wants to run it. Otherwise, they usually just end up falling apart because it just takes a lot of organization. But they're a great part of golf and a lot of fun.
Hocktree has sand bunkers, right? Hocktree is the black sand bunkers, if I remember correctly.
There's one in North Dakota that does, and I'm not sure if it was there or somewhere else, but I know there are courses out there that do have it. That could be Hocktree. Cool. Yeah, it's.
You know where else I really want to get to that I've not been is Stream Song.
Heard great things.
In Florida. I mean, it's kind of like the Bandon Dunes of Florida. It's the Sand Valley of Florida. I mean, look at what they've done with golf courses and their destinations. Where you can drive within 10 hours and go play golf is wow. We're lucky.
Yeah, we didn't even get into like the Chicago market, and that's a whole nother. I mean, you start drawing a 10-hour loop. Now we're talking about good parts of Michigan, or 12, because you start going to Acadia Bluffs and all those places. It's a whole, the UP is whole nother part of the country. It's really cool. So we all encourage the buddy trips. Just make sure you get ahead of it because it's really tricky. Speaking of locally, we had some cool things happen here this last week. So we had the U.S. Women's Open qualifier, the local one. Sarah Burnham got through. So Sarah Burnham, if you remember, played at Wayzata in Michigan State, now plays on the LPGA Tour a bit. She regionally took top 30 in a LPGA Tour event, and she won the qualifier. And then the second qualifier was Isabella McCauley. So Isabella is a stud junior in high school this year that's already committed to the University of Minnesota. So some cool, fun stuff to see there on the women's U.S. Open qualifier. And then on the men's side, the local regional one, three Gophers got through, and then Ross Miller, who played at Minnesota State Mankato and is playing on the Corn Ferry Tour right now, also got through. We had a couple of friends of the show, Andy Smith at Hazeltine, that had an unfortunate finish the last few holes and just missed it in a playoff. And then our good friend Scott McDonald with Rip Golf had a really good round going. Unfortunately, he played a few holes with 15 clubs in his bag. So we encourage that all of you listeners do not do that. It's a mistake I'm sure he'll never make again. He was working on some things and extra, I think it was a 3-hybrid. So we've all made mistakes. It usually just doesn't matter because we're not trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. So, but fun to see, you know, so many friends of the show playing so well. And another one, I was looking at the U.S. Open qualifiers this week. I don't know if you saw this, guys. I think the name is Lev Grinberg. And this kid will graduate middle school in 2022. So he's 13 years old. And he shot 70 at a U.S. Open qualifier at Orange Tree in Orlando. So he'll go to the next level now to try to get the U.S. Open. Like, Brandy, what were you doing at age 13? Was it shooting 70 at a U.S. Open qualifier?
When I was 13, I think I was in my second year of caddying at Wayzata Country Club. I was 1 year into my golf career. Picked it up quickly, but 70? No.
It's incredible. It was really incredible. And then also with local ties, we had Angus Flanagan playing this week in the Walker Cup. So I don't know if anyone got a chance to watch that, but it was at Seminole. So it's the second time we've gotten to see Seminole in the last year. They had the match there last year and with Matthew Wolf and those guys. And 14 players between Great Britain and Ireland and the USA team got sick, including the captains. So, you know, I don't know how these guys did it, but Angus actually went out and went 2-1-1. You know, and all these guys have been sick all week and kind of a crazy deal. U.S. did win, and it was really fun watching Angus at that level. And Matthew Fitzpatrick's little brother was actually one of his teammates. So kind of a cool event to watch for those that watched. Always fun to see what's coming in the future of golf.
I think the Walker Cup is one of the underrated events out there. I mean, that's the Ryder Cup of amateur golf. It's so cool. And is that the first golfer to play in it?
I believe it's the first current golfer. You know, John Harris played as an amateur after he left the U.
Right.
I believe he's the first current golfer to play. And Angus is now 42nd in the world rankings for amateurs. So his future looks pretty bright this summer. Excited to see if he gets some sponsor exemptions or, you know, I think he'll get a little bit of status because the PGA Tour University we talked about. And, you know, he's definitely trending and going in the right direction. So I'd love to see him keep it rolling. And always fun to see Gophers representing. You know, we're starting to think about the end of a weekend. And over the weekend, I spent some time enjoying our next sponsor, Corona Premier. So Corona Premier is the new Corona that is 90 calories. Incredible. 90 calories, 2.6 carbs. Brandy and I are both sipping on one right now. Very light, very refreshing, awesome golf course beer. It was wonderful paired with Cinco de Mayo this last week. So a lot of good stuff there, kind of working in Cinco de Mayo and a Corona Premier. That being said, what local businesses did we support this week? So I've pairing my Corona Premier with Chili Lime on Cinco de Mayo. So Chili Lime in Champlin. I got a chicken burrito bowl and a chicken burrito for myself and my wife, and we kind of split back and forth. Also, they have seasoned tots, which are a sneaky good option on the menu. And then chips and queso. So, again, all very delicious with Corona Premier. What'd you guys try this week? Anything local?
How does it work on Cinco de Mayo when you look at the menu and you're like, tater tots, that's it. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, I'm going tater tots. How does that work?
Well, you know where tater tots on a Mexican restaurant, you know where that comes from, right? Border fries. Remember border fries?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Or Yalen, your favorite, six-pack and a pound, potato olays.
Man, I tell you what, there's nothing quite like driving up to my in-law's place in Otsego, because that's the Taco John's right there in Albertville. Always on the way home or always on the way there, I've got to make the stop at Taco John's. I need the potato olays. So, yes, that's true. Thanks for calling me out on that. I went Teresa's in Eagan.
Ooh.
I'm a big Teresa's fan. Like I said, you know, I'm the Fazoli's breadstick, Olive Garden, never-ending breadstick bucket. Like, keep the stuff coming. So if there's chips and salsa on the table at Teresa's, just keep it coming. Like, if the basket is empty, it means I need more chips. It doesn't mean I need to ask for more chips. Just keep it rolling. So street tacos, the carne asada street tacos with a little bit of onion, cilantro, and some hot sauce. I was in a pretty good spot on Cinco de Mayo.
Brandy?
So Friday night, we went to a favorite of ours that I have not been to in a few years, Nicollet Island Inn. We were married at Nicollet Island Pavilion, and we've been to the Nicollet Island Inn for years, but oh my gosh, it's a nice little high-end restaurant, locally owned. I'll also give a little shout-out to Pittsburgh Blue, which I went to today, and I've got food for the next week from their Mother's Day brunch. Prime rib at 10 a.m. I know it sounds like a good idea. It's not.
We got to make sure Branny stays awake for the end of the show here. He might be in a bit of a food coma. But that's kind of one of the – it's a fun week, right? Because we all overeat because of Cinco de Mayo, and then we all overeat because of Mother's Day because no one's cooking. If someone's cooking, it's not our wives. So a fun week, a lot of good local businesses to support, and always enjoyable. The Teresa's and Egan – big fan, Jarrett, because we've been to the Lakeville and the Maple Grove ones a few times, and they have their chips. You know, certain places you go to and the chips just aren't that great, and then other places the chips are just absolutely perfectly salted. You know, like, you can't have too much salt, but you can't have no salt, and I feel like Teresa's always gets it right.
There's something about restaurant salsa that just hits a teeny bit differently than jarred salsa. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's extra cilantro, whatever it is. But if the basket and the bowl of chips and salsa are empty, keep it coming.
Okay, so who's got the best salsa in town then?
Oh, gosh.
Because this is really an easy one for me.
Is it? Oh, man.
It's not even in town. This is it's
all right, let's hear yours.
Chili's.
Chili's? That you're going Chili's.
I'm going to Chili's.
Wait, is David Branstad the co-host of this show, or did Club Pro guy just join? Chili's, did you take your Chili's? Mazda Miata to Chili's?
Oh, my. You've had their salsa, right?
Oh, it's good.
Tell me one that's better.
What's the old spot? Oh, gosh, I haven't been there forever. Chicago Avenue in South Minneapolis, right next to the old movie theater that's there. It's not Pepito's. Oh man, what is it? Oh boy.
But that's the best salsa?
I can't believe I'm missing this. Yeah.
Well, you gave the address out, so people will find it. that's really where we're not making anyone drink. We're just gonna lead them to the water.
right. Fast forward it to, you know, like 12:15 at 12:15 a.m. and then drop me in South Minneapolis on Chicago near Minnehaha Parkway. I'll find my way to the chips and salsa.
And if the salsa is unlimited, you're gonna be there a while. We might have to get you an Uber home.
Speaking of Club Pro Guide, have you guys seen that there are two players now, two on the Korn Ferry Tour that are sponsored by Club Pro Guy?
Is it Club Pro Guy or Three Jack National that's sponsoring them?
Oh, Three Jack National. Thank you. That's their home course now. Three Jack National is on the on their bag. Eric Flores, who is of Mexican descent, and it fits perfectly. It's so hysterical. And Wade Benfield. And actually, Eric Flores is in some sort of a disagreement with the tour because they want him to take a 3-jack national off of his bio because it's just a fictional course. And he goes, wait, no. No, like, I actually, that is my home course. Like, he's buying into it. And in the letter back to the PGA Tour, he cited the fictionary groundskeeper Miguel Vera as part of the reason why he had him on the bag. It's hysterical.
It's so good. And, you know, it's Club Pro guy just makes the world better. I just feel like he's just adds more laughs all the time. His connectivity, like, we need to get a tour player sponsored by 10,000 Swings. And I'm going to be inside the ropes at the PGA in a couple weeks. And for sure, it will be a pitch that I will be, you know, if they say no to 10,000 Swings, I'll see if I can get Corona Premier. But, you know, just to get somewhere, some sort of a patch on the bag, right? Just to get the name out there. The 3-jack national back and forth, though, has been hilarious. It's pretty good stuff. So, Jarrett, we can't thank you enough for coming back on the show and for all of your support and everything you've done. We really, really thank you. It was great catching up. And we'd also like to thank our sponsors, in addition to Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual, PXG, Parsons Extreme Golf, the new store in Southdale, and Corona Premier. You can always connect with us via email at 10kswings@scorenorth.com. And please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Score North, and give us a 5-star rating. For episode 12 next week, we will have Jeff Robinson on to break down the Evans Scholarship Program, Junior Golf, and the Byron Nelson Classic. Until next week, friends, I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Bramstead.
Cheers.